Your thoughts mold your lifestyle and shape your mental, physical, relational, and emotional health. Have you ever stopped to consider what shape you are in? Stay tuned for my conversation with Pastor Casper McLeod next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to the show on all the usual places, social media platforms, from our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. And now on Prepper Broadcasting Network, you can find them, PrepperBroadcasting.com, on the Global Star Radio Network every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's GSRadio.net. On Red Nation Rising, Saturdays at 4 p.m., Sundays at 7 a.m. That's RedNationRising.us. On WTTP-FM, Saturday evenings at 11 and Sunday evenings at 9 p.m., WTTPFM.com. And now, Soaring Eagle Radio is on Fringe Radio Network, fringeradio.com. It's my pleasure and my blessing and my honor to welcome my big brother and a dear, dear friend, Pastor Casper McLeod, to Soaring Eagle Radio. Casper, thanks for joining me today.
Well, absolutely delighted to be here with you, Pastor Mike, and so enjoyed our time at the Hear the Watchman conference where I got to speak after you were up there. You're a very tough act to follow, by the way.
You're very kind, and I made similar comments. We had a wonderful time, though, didn't we, at the conference? And Pastor Paul Bagley gave a
really great. I mean, especially we saw hundreds of people get saved and hundreds of people get water baptized, and I saw quite a few people get miraculously healed as well that I had the privilege of ministering to.
Yes. Yeah. So, that was probably the highlight of the conference for me was the invitations to come forward for praying and healing and the baptizing, and it was just wonderful.
Well, it is such an important thing. Because unfortunately, we look at how prophecy is unfolding today, and one of those things that's so disturbing is that we've got a lot of churches today that are not on the narrow path; they're on some other path,
yeah,
which is what the Bible said would happen in days. They'd be tickling their ears, and they'd have another, gospel being preached. We see this playing out right now. So I'm just absolutely can't express enough thanks for men like yourself that are out there preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, not afraid to speak the truth.
Yeah.
But too many people are avoiding the truth, as if avoiding it to make it go away, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that's the way the mind works right now, people playing around with it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I appreciate
the issue is a lot of Little churches don't want to deal with the subject matter that, you know, is before us. The world's dealing with it already, which is, I think, one of the reasons these conferences are so important, so vital, because it's giving information the body Christ needs to know about.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was sold out. I believe 750 was the capacity, and it was filled to capacity. Now that, and I know from having spoken with a couple of people, and I know that you are privy to this information too, that the conference didn't go off without a challenge. There were some that showed up there that were of the devil's army and intended to bring about some chaos or confusion or deception, but the Spirit of the Almighty God put a stop to that real quick, didn't he?
Greater is he that is in us.
That's right.
So, you know, think about that. I think you said something like that when I was up there doing my presentation, that ultimately, when you really come down to it, the devil's got brain damage, and all those that follow him, there's probably something wrong with the frontal lobe where the decision maker is, because they're not able to make good decisions. They've been following this guy with this entity with brain damage for a very long time.
So I've never heard it put that way before, Casper, but that's great. Yeah, yeah. They're well, clearly they're deceived, and if anybody fulfilled the definition of the walking dead, it would be the followers of our enemy, and they don't clearly understand the destruction that awaits them if they don't turn from the darkness to the light. And of course, that's why we preach the gospel, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, if the Lord Jesus being called the great physician, well, we being the body of Christ, we ought to know a wee bit how this works. What I find, to my amazement, is I very few are teaching how your thoughts work and how to take them captive, which is, you know, one of the things I did in my presentation.
Yes.
It wasn't really what I wanted to actually do, but it's apparently what the Lord wanted me to do. And to hear the watchman had, you know, suggested I go down that path as well. But, I mean, the truth is, because of all the studies I've done over the years, it seems to me like 95%, which is what, you know, medical, secular medical schools will have established even from the 90s, like in the science of epigenetics. I wrote about extensively in my book, What Was I Thinking? You know, 95% of all sicknesses and all diseases are basically related to lifestyle choices. In other words, they're in our thinking. And if the Lord says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and people don't know how to do that, so that's problematic. We need to understand how are we going to take our thoughts captive.
Amen. Amen. And the book that Casper mentioned, folks.
So I try to explain to... Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I was just saying that the book that Casper mentioned, What Was I Thinking? Getting Your Thoughts Working for You Instead of Against You. And Casper co-authored that with his friend Linda Lang. So that is going to be the bulk of our conversation today. And so, Casper, please continue talking about the Scripture tells us to take every thought captive. But you said if we don't know how to do that, then how are we going to obey that command and walk in health and faith? And so that was the subject of your book. So please continue.
Well, I'd say for people after my presentation, one woman in particular came up to me and hugged me and said, you're teaching that part about how to take thoughts captive was so life-changing. It made the entire conference worthwhile to travel the great distance she came to be there.
Amen.
What I, as you recall, I simply show people how their thoughts work and how to take control of them, how to take the reins, you know. It's sort of, you know, if you get on a horse with and you don't know how to handle the horse, you're probably in for a lot of trouble.
Pretty rocky ride.
I've been on horses like that. Yeah. So if you don't know how to rein in your horse, but you know, basically you've got something called the thalamus, which is like a relay station. Think of a relay race. So all the information you're learning right now, you're hearing this conversation, you're listening. And here we've got these two pastors exchanging subject matter back and forth. So information passes into something called, you know, thalamus is the relay station in your brain. And it's actually, it sends all the information into something called the cortex, and that's where all the memories are kept. So that's the first place where an attitude begins. Mm. Come on and hit me with your first shot, right?
Yeah, right.
So an attitude, what kind of attitude are you falling into? We should be full of peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost as Christians. Yes. I don't often see that. It's okay. We're all a work in progress, and wherever you are, God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you closer to him. So as you one step towards him, he comes running towards you. So the kind of attitude you're falling into determines your emotional responses. And that goes, you know, like a relay, goes back to the thalamus. And then it travels to the hypothalamus. And that's where it activates all the chemicals that build your emotional state. Now, the hypothalamus, it's the main gland of the limbic system. It's in the medical world, the science, they'll call it the brain of the endocrine system. So it actually acts like, you know, a mini brain. And by the way, your heart does that as well. And it's just incredible how God designed you. So you got this hypothalamus gland that responds to your thought life. And this is vital. This is massive. Pay attention to what I'm saying here. You need this because it's going to make you free. Jesus said, know the truth. The truth is going to make you free.
Yes.
So you can only respond and produce chemicals in response to what's going on deep within your soul and your spirit. Now, from your studies of the scripture, my study from the scripture, we clearly see, you know, there's things like a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of heaviness. I mean, there's all kinds of spirits, unclean spirits,
yes.
Evil spirits the Lord tells us about, forewarns us about. And these are the kind of things that come through theta brain waves that basically, you know, whisper in your ear. Like, remember, we had cartoons when we were kids, probably, you know, a little devil on one side of the shoulder.
Yes.
Going, go on, do the bad. And the angels on the other shoulder go, no, do that thing.
Right.
This is what's going on with people. And these spirits are whispering in your ear. And they try to become one in your thought life as if they were your very own thoughts. And amazingly, I don't want to get off the subject too much here, but the technology with the shadow governments, they've got it to a point now where they can actually mimic your voice just like the devil does, just like demons do, and speak into your thought life. So we really need to be on guard and be able to recognize thoughts. For example, we go back to... Lord Jesus says to his original disciples, gather around, guys, tell me who you say that I am. Who do you think I am? And Peter jumps in there passionately and goes, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. And he looks at him and goes, flesh and blood will not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. So we've got scriptural evidence to show we can hear from the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. That's amazing because, I mean, how much more do we want to do that, right? We want to hear from God. Do what's pleasing in his sight. And, you know, you can have an original thought like, I'm getting hungry, I'm tired, all that sort of thing. But when you read down a few verses later, you know, Jesus explaining, guys, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, they're going to torture me, they're going to kill me, there's all that stuff, but not to worry. 3 days later, Peter jumps in front of him and goes, no, I can never let this happen. No, we're not going to let you go into Jerusalem. And he looks at him and goes, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Now, I reckon, you know, Peter might have needed some ministry then.
Yeah.
You know, he said it in front of the other guys, right? I mean, it must have been a devastating comment to hear from the Lord Jesus, get behind me, Satan. But he must have realized, too, that he wasn't speaking to him. He was speaking to a spirit that manifested in him. Have you ever seen a Christian manifest the wrong spirit?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Have you ever seen a Christian... With anger in their eyes,
yes,
unrighteous anger. Say, I mean, how about a Christian that somebody cuts them off in traffic, and you're driving along? It's a beautiful day. Driving along your automobile, and all of a sudden, somebody cuts them off on the highway, and words of profanity come out of their mouth. Where'd that come from?
Yes.
That's not the Holy Spirit. They're channeling the wrong spirit there.
Yes.
Right. So this stuff can happen. Let's get real about it and acknowledge it, so we can deal with it effectively.
Yes.
So this is important to understand. So your endocrine system, going back to the hypothalamus, it triggers your glands. It dictates each one what to secrete, all the different types of hormones that go directly into the bloodstream. They regulate the amygdala. I think you call it something else here, the amygdala, something like that. The amygdala is an almond-shaped structure in your brain that stores all your emotional perceptions. So this is, you know, where your library of your life is being kept. And every time you build a memory, we're building memories right now. And when you leave here, you'll continue to build architectural memory. We'll never, you know, stop doing that because we'll be known as we're known. We'll still have memories when you get on the other side. And so this is really important. This is the mind, body, spirit, soul connection. So, you know, when you go to medical school, they don't give you a holy guidebook to the supernatural. They don't give you a holy Bible to study. They'd be so much more advanced if they did. You can't separate the mind, body, and spirit, and soul. They're all connected here, right? In fact, Proverbs 4:20-22, it's a life-changing message. You know, if you study, meditate on the Word of God, and it'll be healing to all your flesh. I looked that up one time in Greek and Aramaic, and it says everything. That word all. I mean, it's all your flesh. So I take God's word literally. I mean, we've seen miraculous stuff. We've got medically documented cases where people have been extraordinarily healed of all sorts of things.
Yes. Amen.
So, praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. Amen. So where before we get too far into this, Casper, because I know you've already really encouraged some folks hearing this. I was imagining as you were speaking that there are many who from nowhere just are overcome by a spirit of anger and the being cut off in traffic accident is such an easy illustration to use because I don't like that happening to me either. And so I was thinking of myself, okay, Mike, how do you respond and how do you react when, I mean, you can be, in the picture that you were painting, Casper, was perfect tranquility. You're enjoying the beauty of God's creation, driving down the road, and all of a sudden something happens, and then you're angry about that. And so where can people find this book? The book is What Was I Thinking? Getting Your Thoughts Working For You instead of Against
available,
You.
It's available on Amazon, or they can go to our church website, theupperroomfellowship.org.
Okay.
So
theupperroomfellowship.org.
We've got a workbook that just came out recently, the What Was I Thinking student workbook. So now you can do a Bible study with What Was I Thinking.
Perfect.
I think it's really helped people, you know, apply this in their life.
Mm-hmm.
One of the illustrations I gave, well, actually, let's go back before I go there. Let's take two individuals and the same. Say they have the same occupation, you know, whatever you pick, whatever you want. Maybe it could be college professors. Let's pick on college professors. So you got two college professors driving identical vehicles, and let's put them in LA because, you know, you got like traffic, right? All the crazy traffic also in California. Driving along in their own, on their way home from work, you know, at the university, and they get in a traffic jam, right? Now, one of the professors just completely has a meltdown, an existential meltdown. He's freaking out. I've got to get to a meeting. This can't be happening. And he's just freaking out. He's releasing all kinds of poisonous chemicals into his body. He's angry. He's upset. He's making phone calls, you know, trying to cancel meetings. And the other guy's totally calm. He's listening to praise music. He's content in all things. He's going, wow, there's a traffic jam. We're at a standstill. I can make some phone calls. And he starts, you know, calling up friends like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You want to get together for a barbecue? You know, put another shrimp on the boat, right? Why? Because, so it's not the external circumstances, right? Something inside, right? It's the thing out of the heart of man, you know?
Yeah.
the Lord talks about you defile yourself out of the house of man. So this is, to me, when you study this, the professor in the car that's freaking out, he's triggering some previous memories of a bad experience he had where he was late to a meeting, and this is causing a spirit of fear to take him over. Now, when you bow down to a spirit of fear, it's like you're bowing down to the wrong kingdom, and God is a perfect gentleman, right? So the Lord Jesus steps back because he's a perfect gentleman, and he goes, okay, I'm going to let you have it your way. You're not a robot. You've got freedom of choice. You made the wrong choice, but I'm going to respect it. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to stand back. And as soon as you need me, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to call. And as soon as you call, you know, was it Jeremiah 33:3? Call on me and see if I won't do great and amazing things.
Yes. Yes.
So, again, you know, the effect, when you allow yourself to think, whatever you allow yourself to think about, it's going to affect your body. When you allow negative, depressing, poisonous thoughts to gain entrance, it's like a cyclone of negativity, and it's going to open the door for a spirit of fear, which God did not give you, to come in, and it's going to mess up all kinds of things. Besides, you know, a spirit of fear is actually, we've researched, medical, secular research will show a spirit of fear, which they call anxiety, an anxiety disorder, is behind like over 1,400 different diseases.
1,400.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
So, the church, let's wake up the church, and let's get on track so we can be content in all the things. One of the things I showed at the conference, remember I had everybody count backwards from 99 as a, you know, just an example of how this works. So yeah. Let's do that for everybody. Yeah. Have you count backwards from 99? I want everyone listening. The count backwards with Dr. Mike.
Okay.
You can go 99, 98.
97, 96, 95, 94.
Now, at the same time, start saying the ABCs.
92, 91.
Okay. Right. Start saying the ABCs simultaneously.
Yes, right? Yes.
So yes. Count backwards and sing the ABCs. Yeah. That's
what you're describing there is a train wreck.
Gosh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Don't be trying to. Some of you are driving in your car listening to this, or you're sitting at home, you're going 99A, 98. No, not like at the same time. You cannot do it.
You can't do it.
And amazing news. How glorious is the Lord? See, and that means you cannot entertain an unholy thought and a holy thought at the same time. You've got to choose.
Amen.
This day, this moment, to the next moment. Who are you going to choose? Who
yes.
can it stay?
Yes, amen. You discuss in your book, Pastor Casper, and I'm looking at chapter 7, motives of the heart. Motives of the heart. And I think that is a great subject to really be talking to people about. And by the way, again, I think I said this already, but you co-wrote this with Linda Lang. Maybe you should give a little background to who Linda is, so folks can get a grasp of the content of this book. Who is Linda Lang?
Linda's on my board of directors, and actually, I pretty much wrote about 90% of the book. On I was in New York. And I was asked to play and speak at this church. and I got up there. I was trying to, you know, they wanted me to share my testimony. And I couldn't share my testimony without going to scripture. And one scripture leads to another scripture.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it was like it's this massive crowd. You know, it was a big church. And sorry, I have to turn my phone off. I thought I did that before. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So I'm sharing this testimony, and pretty soon it's like, you know, most of the church got up and they wanted me to pray for them, and they wanted to receive, you know,
yeah.
healing miracles and all that. And
yes.
So the boss at that particular church had been there, and he took me aside and said, "I've never heard anybody teach what you taught tonight." He said. And you're quoting the scriptures throughout the whole thing. He said, "This is amazing. Have you got anything written down?" So I ended up giving him a manuscript and just to bless him with it. And he gave it to some publisher. And then at the same time, I sent it to my friend Linda, who had the self-publishing thing going on. And Linda's going, gosh, I really like something like this for Mindy. Well, I happen to be on her board of directors too. So I said, well, you know, why don't you just work on it with me? We'll just finish it up and, you know, you be part of this. And so she came up with, you know, the parts. In each chapter is how this applies to me kind of thing. You can make notes and all that. She made some really great contributions.
Yeah.
And she's got a number of really good books out. She's a very capable minister. On just a dear sister in Christ, so that's how it came about.
Yeah,
and
one of the
you know, we just keep delving into this deep. Sorry.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was just saying, as we kind of delve into this deeper, as you know, I thought maybe I should share a little bit about this. I do work with a couple of medical doctors as well that
yes.
Help on the ministry team.
Yes,
and I started to learn that, you know, like. I wrote about it, and what was I thinking? Your heart has got like 40,000 neurons in it, so it's like a mini brain. So if you just say, remember Jesus said, if you forgive from, you got to forgive from your heart. Right? You got to forgive. He talks about the heart a lot.
Yes.
Forgive from your heart. You can't just say, I forgive him, but you don't really mean it. Right? You got to mean it. You got to forgive from your heart. Several times the Lord says, you know, if you don't forgive others, he cannot forgive you, like Matthew 18. Yes. Well, if he can't forgive you, then how's he going to bless you and how's he going to heal you?
Amen.
So when you assess a situation with the Father's covenant, the new better covenant we have, your left kidney and your right kidneys are involved in that strategy. Like, so, you know, if the heart, if you forgive and you're not really from your heart, when those chemicals reach the heart, the heart goes, wait, whoa, a minute, guys, we can't do this. We can't comply with this request. There's no congruency here. But if you do, then your heart, you know, is able to come to at peace. And, you know, you could forgive people even though they've done horrendous, terrible things. Because the Lord hung on a cross. Yes. And he said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Stephen, right? What would it have been like if he picked up a stone and threw it back at the crowd that was stoning him, right? Maybe the Apostle Paul would have never happened. He would have remained solid Tarsus, right? But he was there witnessing the way this man was martyred.
Yes.
And of course, the Lord Jesus, you know, leads the man next to him into salvation. I mean, what a way to go.
Yeah.
So we've got to trust God for every detail. So your left kidney and your right kidneys will help in the devising a strategy, how you're going to move forward in any situation. Go back to the guys in the... you know, the two vehicles in a traffic jam, right?
Yeah.
So if the left kidney assesses the situation badly, like the professor that's freaking out, then the right kidney is not able to resolve it, and the kidneys release stress hormones. That's a spirit of fear. You know, medical guys will call it stress hormones, right? Mm-hmm. But that's obviously a spirit of fear that's operating in your blood system now. Remember, you know, the devil wants your blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we need the blood of Jesus covering us. And so that would obviously... exasperate, you know, any kind of other issues that are going on, fears behind so many sicknesses and diseases. It causes hopelessness, sense of hopelessness. So now you're experiencing this spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's affecting your body. In fact, there's a scripture in Psalm that says, hope deferred literally makes the heart sick. Mm. But if you frame it right, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust the living God of all creation, and he loves me with an everlasting love, and he's going to take care of every detail. The Lord Christ, he's got this, right?
Yeah.
When you understand that, then your heart, your kidneys are going to release something called, it's a chemical called DHEA, which carries the emotion of joy, and then your heart's able to release this chemical that's called ANF, which carries the emotion of peace. That's supernatural peace. That's why the Lord said, hey, I'm going to give you peace, not like the world gives, supernatural peace.
Mm.
You're going to be able to have peace and be content in all things, no matter what's going on. That's so amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. And what Casper is saying here, folks, and again, that's why I pointed to chapter 7, Motives of the Heart, because one of the paragraphs that you wrote in this chapter, Casper, is just phenomenal. And it really it really points to exactly everything you've just been saying, and I'm just going to read that, this paragraph, and then you can comment if you'd like. But Casper writes, "We are in a body and have a mind, spirit, and soul. We communicate through our spirit with our Lord. Our souls give us our personalities, which allow us to communicate with each other. Our physical body is our holy temple, which keeps us. What you do in the spiritual is going to affect what happens in the natural." And that's exactly what you've been saying, isn't it?
Mm. Absolutely. The things that affect the spiritual are going to, react in the physical and vice versa.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned to me earlier, I've got this obscure book called Exposing the Spirit of Self-Pity.
Yes.
And in there, I made some kind of analogy where I was talking about how, spirit of self comes to support all the unloving spirits that are trying to manifest from the wrong kingdom.
Yeah.
Like a spirit of pride. Spirit of pride got Lucifer kicked out of heaven for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to understand, when we look at the church today, it just amazes me how many people walking around Christians that don't even like themselves.
Yeah.
Well, who taught them not to like themselves? That's not natural. You wouldn't just come out in the world and go, "Well, I don't like myself." hate yourself. And that's just, self-pity, right?
Yeah.
It's all involved in this. So, because most people that suffer with self-pity, they believe, it's the people around them that have the problem, not them. They want to blame other people, and that's just not true. So I reckon, being a musician, it's self-pity, it's like it's got its own support group of unclean spirits. It's got self-pity and vocals, it's just going in and out, right? And it's got like ungodly grief and sorrow. They're doing backup singing in the background. Yeah. Nobody loves me. Poor, pitiful me, right?
Yeah.
And then they got the victimization spirit, the spirit of the broken heart, hopelessness, despair. They're playing all the instruments, they're coming to kill,
yeah,
and destroy.
That's right.
Turn that stuff off. You don't need to listen to that rubbish.
That's right. Change channels.
Change the channel.
That's right. And that's a great book in and of itself, by the way. Exposing the Spirit of Self-Pity, Casper wrote, and I know it's available. I was just out to the Upper Room Fellowship website and looking, and it is available there, theupperroomfellowship.org. So go out there and check out all these resources. So let's continue, Casper, with "What Was I Thinking?" Knowing the truth makes you free. Knowing the truth makes you free. But the truth is only found in Yeshua, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. It's amazing. With all the stuff out there, the only thing reliable we have is the Almighty Word of God.
Yes.
It's really the only truth that we have in this world. And especially as we see how things are, unfolding prophetically right now, which I tried to explain in my last book, Unmasking the Future. We were at that point, We've really got to get this down. We've got to learn to love God with all our mind, body, spirit, and soul, love our neighbor as ourself, right? If you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor?
Yeah.
Which is today with, the internet, which is the modern day equivalent to the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
Just let that one slide by.
Yeah.
if you don't love yourself, how can you possibly love your neighbor, which is everyone today, right? How can we minister healing and miracles in Jesus' Almighty name if we won't even get that one down?
Yeah.
So this is really, really vital that we start to understand these things. And, just like the Lord said, you guys, you can tell when the weather's going to change, it's going to rain. How much more do you need to know the season you're in? So if this be the season, and clearly we can see we're things are wrapping up, it's all unfolding the way he said it was going to unfold.
Yeah.
How much more do we need to be passionate? How is it that most Christians have never led one person to Christ? That's just unacceptable. I mean, you know, when I fell in love with my wife, I wanted to tell the whole world. I found the most awesome woman in the world. I'm going to marry her. It's just, you know, how much more with God Almighty? Yes. I want to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus. I just find myself ministering anywhere I go. It's just so easy because it's just such a part of us, right? I know that's the way it is with you as well.
Yes. And don't you find, Casper?
Waitresses and waiters are getting.
Yes, yes,
God's
exactly.
Indeed. What's up?
Well, when you have that, when you have that willingness at any time, any place, to share the Lord Jesus, the good news of salvation in Christ, when you have that attitude, He gives you those opportunities all the time. And just an example, you and I were chatting the other day, and you were talking about how you had that opportunity. It seems like every time you're on an airplane, you're sitting next to someone and they need ministered to in the name of Jesus Christ. And so you're able to share a word of encouragement. And so my point is this: when we live with that attitude, when that is our thought perspective, that's always on the front of our mind to share the Lord Jesus, then He is faithful to provide those opportunities, and you are certainly a living example of that. I appreciate the many stories and examples that you've shared with me over the years, but so that seems to be an attitude, doesn't it?
Well, it's really, you know, how you look at things, right? It's an opportunity. When I left the conference in Dallas, the ticket guy told me, you know, my plane was going to be delayed 7.5 hours. And then he looked at me and said, wait a minute, I recognize you. I mean, it's all, you know, God just orchestrating things, right? So He gets me on a flight. And, you know, if you sit next to me on a flight, it's a captive audience.
That's right.
So the man next to me starts, you know, I mean, I ended up in first class, and the guy sitting next to me saw my guitar and started talking to me. And after 5 minutes, he goes, you're not very politically correct. I mean, we've been talking 5 minutes and you're telling me about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it took me the whole 5 minutes to get there. And, we ended up praying together. You know, his wife had some issues that I was able to give some insights into. From a, you know, biblical medical perspective, and just great, you know, got off the plane, prayed some all together. He's become a dear friend now. That's just the way it is. I mean, the Lord just sets up opportunities, so we just need to step into what God has for us. I mean, there's opportunities for everybody here in the sound of our voice. All you need to do is follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and just spread His love. Just smiling at somebody, you know, could change their whole day.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about healing, Casper. I know that we believe that God heals today, and He does that in response to prayer. He does that in response to faithful servants laying on of hands. But there are too large of a portion, in my opinion, of the church today that just kind of poo-poos that idea that God still heals, and He certainly does heal, and you've seen that in your own ministry. And
well, if anybody read the scriptures, I mean, how many people actually read it, right? I mean, you go read books about it, you hear other people talk about it, but how many people have actually read the scriptures for themselves? If you read the scriptures from yourself, you would never come to the conclusion that the gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away mysteriously 2,000 years ago. God works in mysterious ways only to those that don't know Him. Because for us who know Him, He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And because you're my friends, I tell you everything I'm going to do before I even do it. It says in Hebrews 13:8, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And yes. Same thing in Malachi, right? God changes not. So when did He stop doing healing miracles? One time some guy challenged me in a service I was doing or speaking somewhere, and a man stood up and challenged me that, you know, the gifts had passed away. I said, come up here, please. I handed him my Bible. And I said, show us where the gift stopped. Show us exactly where God decided no more healing miracles are going to happen, right? So he's thumbing through my Bible. I finally asked him, I said, do you need some help? Are you looking for, I think it was 1 Corinthians 13, and in those days the gifts of prophecy will cease? And he said, yeah, that's it. And I said, but read it in context, right? It's got a comma. And prophecy will cease, right? And knowledge, it's in the same sentence, knowledge and prophecy. Well, has knowledge passed away? No. Well, then prophecy hasn't passed away. And if prophecy hasn't passed away, neither did healing and miracles pass away. He actually came back and repented to the church about a fortnight later. He went off and did some studying. He was a deacon from a church, a denomination that taught this sort of thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So every denomination, you're saying, exclusive, you know? The Word of God says there should be no schisms in the body of Christ. We should all have the same love for one another.
Yes, amen.
So, I mean, you got a choice. Do you want the Word of God or do you want the Word of man?
Yes. That's right. Yeah. We believe in healing, brothers and sisters. That's the takeaway from that. And we certainly saw that at Hear the Watchman. Many came forward after Russ Dizdar's presentation of the gospel and the invitation. Many people came forward for healing, and I know that Kathy and I were privileged to pray for several that asked to be delivered from certain things, and we've even had follow-up conversation with one, and it has been such a joy to learn about how the Lord has worked in this person's life, and I'm sure you have similar testimonies, Casper, of that event as well.
I was just thinking of one I feel like I should share. I want to be careful because I don't want to ever break any confidentiality, but I was in a restaurant, and this woman came up and said she'd fallen down and cracked ribs, and she was in a lot of pain. Could I pray for her? So my wife was kind of like, oh, here we go, because it's hard to go, you know, in public places and just spend time with family, right? So I end up ministering to this woman in the restaurant and leave her, get in the parking lot, and we're trying to leave, and she comes running out, ecstatic that the pain had left her body. Well, praise God, that's awesome. So she comes to our church the next morning. It must have been a Saturday night. And on Sunday morning, she shares this testimony that I prayed for her, and she was healed. So at the end of the service, a man comes up and he said, can you pray for me? Will God heal me? And he'd broken his back a few years earlier from an accident. And I went, well, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask, does it? So let's pray and let me ask the Lord. And I put my hand on his back. I started praying in the almighty name of Jesus. And before I could finish praying, God just, Holy Spirit. You know, there's a difference between healing and miracles. Miracles are something that happens instantly. Healing is something more like a process of restoration. But this guy had a miraculous moment. All the pain, he kind of jumped a few feet. He went, what was that? And he was not a church-going man at the time, right? This is like one of the first times he'd been to church. And so he didn't have to take any more of the medication he was on. And he went home, and after a week or two, he invited me to come meet his wife. She wanted to meet this guy that prayed for her husband because she'd seen him on all these heavy-duty medications for several years, and all of a sudden he's walking around like, you know, the accident never happened. So we get there, and I went over with one of the guys in my church that was, actually he was the head of our video department, and I'm in the doorway, and the wife opens the door, and she goes, you're nothing like I thought you'd look. I'm going, okay, so how do you think I looked like? She says, well, I thought you'd have, like, you know, dark blue suit on and, you know, crew cut and be carrying a big Bible. So I end up in the conversation with the wife in the doorway. Meanwhile, my friend went and talked with the husband in the other room. And the wife looks at me. She goes, my husband doesn't want you to know what I do for a living because he thinks you won't like us then. And I went, okay, what do you do for a living? And she told me she was the madam of a gentleman's club in a certain city. And I took her hands and I said, you know, I think the plan God's got for your life is so much better than the plan you're presently using. Amen. Let's pray. I didn't even ask to wait. I just start praying with her. And she starts praying along in agreement, you know. And so she comes to the church, and she would come purposely late and leave early so she didn't have to, you know, interact with people. And about a fortnight goes by. That's 2 weeks in America. And she comes up to me after the service. She goes, I just want you to know I quit my job.
Wow.
I went, praise the Lord, you know. And as far as I know, we moved to another location, but as far as I know, they're still serving faithfully in church.
Amen. God is still on the move today, and he works through his servants who are sensitive to the leading of his Spirit and willing to just reach out and minister to people wherever that might be. That's a remarkable story, Casper. Well, what else is going on with Pastor Casper these days? I know you're going to a conference here in, is it Gurnee, Illinois?
First? Yeah, I'll be with Pastor Paul Begley again and Rusty Starr and the Hagmans at the Shake and Awaken thing. And then be back at the Hear the Watchman in Idaho with L.A. Malzulli and the rest of the gang.
Oh, yes. Boise, that's in August, I believe.
I think so. Yeah, I think the 18th maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Check it out at hearthewatchman.com.
Yeah, hearthewatchman.com. Now, well, the thought just escaped me. I was going to ask you a question, Casper, and where can people find you if they're in the Georgia area? Just is it north and east of Atlanta?
Yeah, we're north of Atlanta. Our church is the Upper Room Fellowship. .org, and you can go to the Upper Room Fellowship .org and get directions. We're in Ball Ground, and we meet in Freedom's Light Church.
And at services are 11 a.m.
Well, actually, our service is 9:45.
9:45.
The second service is at 11 with Pastor Jeff Foster.
Okay. 9:45 a.m. If you're in the area, stop in and visit Casper and his lovely wife Joan and. Give them greetings, and I'm sure that you will be blessed by that. Casper, I am privileged to count you as a friend, and I appreciate you and the life that you live for the Lord. It is such a testimony of joy and happiness. Casper is one of the most joyful people that I have in my life. Constantly an encouraging word. It's become a very, very dear friend. I appreciate you joining me for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Well, absolutely delighted to be here, and my younger brother.
Yeah.
My erudite, researching younger brother. Listen to this man. He's got great wisdom, so I encourage you to keep checking out Dr. Mike's broadcast and check out his church, Calvary Chapel, and you'll be blessed.
Thank you so much, brother. Well, we'll have to do this again real soon as your schedule permits, and because we just barely even scratched the surface of your book, What Was I Thinking? And you can get that again. You can get that on the upperroomfellowship.org website. Get it through Amazon. Casper will take you through step by step on why it's important that you order your thoughts, that you take all thoughts captive, and the results of that, what is going to happen, and what transpires physically in your body when you don't do that. And it's just a wealth of information. I highly recommend that you get the book, but we'll just make that a subject of our second discussion on that book, Casper. Would that be okay?
That's fine. We'll look forward to it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, just like people get a passport, you know, when you go to another country, they go, can I see your passport? How long are you staying and how much money are you bringing in? I think you should ask your thoughts.
That's...
do you have legal right to come into my holy temple?
You know what? That's exactly where we're going to pick up our conversation next time.
Okay.
The great need to ask for the passport of every thought that comes into your mind that is negative and evil and dark. Do you have a passport? Why are you coming here? Where are you coming from? How long are you staying? That's great. I love it. Casper, God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, Dr. Mike.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him. Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio Program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.